With millions of people still out of work because of the pandemic, the U.S. Labor Department reported today that U.S. employers created only 266,000 jobs in April. President Biden waved off suggestions that the weaker-than-expected jobs numbers were disappointing as he tried to put the numbers into context.
Today's report just underscores, in my view, how vital the actions we're taking are. Checks to people who are hurting, support for small businesses, for child care and school reopening, support to help families put food on the table. Our efforts are starting to work, but the climb is steep, and we still have a long way to go.
And Florida and Texas are the latest states to move forward with voting restrictions. Those moves come as Republicans in Congress prepare to push the highest-ranking woman in their party out of her leadership role for continuing to call out former President Trump's false statements about election fraud. And for more, let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. And with us is Scott Wong, senior staff writer for The Hill. Hi, Scott.
Hi, good to be with you.
Yes, and Rick Klein, political director for ABC News. Hi, Rick.
Thanks for having me.
Rick, I'll start with you. The jobs numbers surprised many economists. Some had predicted a million jobs would be created as more people got vaccinated. But it's clear, of course, that this pandemic is not over yet. Do you think this will translate into a precarious political moment for President Biden?
There's no doubt that it's a disappointment. And I think the perceived strength of the economy is something that's been buoying the Biden presidency of late. You've got Republicans immediately saying, look, this shows the failure of these policies. You're putting too much money out there. You're not giving people an incentive to work. The flip side of that, though, is that Biden is using this as an argument for more stimulus to say, look, you can't look at these numbers and say we're spending enough. And we just heard from the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, as well, saying this shows that people need more support. They need childcare, for instance, to put themselves back on the workforce with schools not fully operational. So it's going to be added to a political mix, but any president would rather have a stronger economy than a weaker one, particularly at a time where so much of the Biden agenda is still to be enacted.
And President Biden is really pushing his infrastructure plan. Scott, Biden actually visited the red state of Louisiana to sell his plan to spend trillions of dollars on infrastructure that he says includes not just roads and bridges, but also things like expanded free education and childcare. The president says he's willing to cut a deal with Republicans on how much to raise corporate taxes and taxes on the wealthiest to pay for it.
What I'm not ready to do, I'm not ready to do nothing. I'm not ready to have another period where America has another infrastructure month and doesn't change a damn thing.
Scott, we hear what the president is saying, but are any Republicans feeling pressure to actually work with him on infrastructure?
Well, I'm not sure they're feeling pressure, but they are going to be having conversations this week with President Biden. President Biden's going to be hosting a number of Republicans in separate meetings. One of them is Shelley Morcapito of West Virginia. He has asked her to bring along whoever she wants to in terms of Republican senators who may be open to some kind of bipartisan deal. He's also going to be sitting down for the first time with Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy, the two top Republican leaders in the House and the Senate, in a meeting along with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. So the big four from Capitol Hill. So he's going through the motions and meeting with Republicans in this coming week and has been for the last few months. But he is really under a lot of pressure from progressives and even folks in his own White House who say, you know, because of these job numbers, because we can't let up on the gas, the country needs to go big in this moment and really push through a big infrastructure plan. And then maybe turn to some of that, what they're calling the family infrastructure after that. But they really feel like this is not a time to be, you know, negotiating with Republicans and playing small ball. This is a chance for some transformational change and a chance to really go big.
Rick Klein, I want to talk to you about number three Republican leader Liz Cheney, who Tanya mentioned. She's the daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney. Next week, she could very well lose her leadership role in Congress because she did not support Donald Trump when he claimed falsely that the election was stolen. So by not falling in line with her Republican colleagues, she's paying the price. Two questions about this. How many Republicans in Congress do you think genuinely believe the election was stolen? And for those Republicans who would normally stand behind Liz Cheney, are any standing behind her now?
Well, it's so interesting because one thing that some of Cheney's backers are saying right now is let's not do this with a secret ballot. Let's go out in the open and say once and for all where you stand on this, because their suspicion is that there are members of Congress who are saying one thing publicly and another thing privately. I think it's impossible to know how many actually believe the falsehood, the lie that the election was stolen. I don't know that we know President Trump definitely believes that. I think there's a segment of members of Congress who believe that. I think there's a broader segment that realizes that there's more political peril in saying that, and an even larger number that says that, you know, whatever you think about that, that Liz Cheney and having her in leadership is counterproductive for the Republican Party right now because Donald Trump is angry about it, and that they need to go into the midterm elections as united as they are. And frankly, that means falling into line with Trump. It should be noted that Liz Cheney's perceived sin here is telling the truth and being consistent when the people on the other side of this argument have lied about the election, or peddled falsehoods, whether they believe them or not, as well as been inconsistent about Cheney's role. It was the sense that she could stay in leadership. There was even a vote that happened just a couple of months ago after January 6th. And what Cheney has done is said, no, this is still a lie, and I'm going to continue to call it as such. And yeah, it's almost a foregone conclusion at this point that she's going to lose her job in leadership next week.
And Scott Wong, what does that cost Congress? Because Liz Cheney, has been a long and steadfastly conservative member of the party, and she backed extreme interrogation techniques against terrorism suspects, for one thing. Her likely replacement, Elsie Stefanik, has gone from moderate to conservative Republican, and she won Trump's endorsement this week. Let's hear from her first. She's on former Trump strategist Steve Bannon's War Room podcast yesterday.
I'm committed to being a voice and being sending a clear message that we are one team. And that means working with the president and working with all of our excellent Republican members of Congress.
So, Scott, when she says she wants to work with the president, that must come as a surprise to the president, Joe Biden.
Yeah, I mean, Stefanik has undergone a huge transformation. She came in as a moderate. She was actually one of the leaders of the moderate Tuesday group of Republicans. She voted against President Trump's 2017 tax cuts. She was seen as somebody who worked across the aisle. And then as her upstate New York district started trending towards Donald Trump after going twice for President Obama, she really grasped onto President Trump and was one of his chief defenders in the first 2019 impeachment trial, as well as the one just recently. And so, she's facing now some criticism from the right. In fact, Stefanik is people saying that she's too moderate to replace Liz Cheney. People are holding up Cheney's conservative record and saying Stefanik doesn't compare to it if you look at some of the conservative scorecards. And so, she has some convincing to do. But I think what this shows is that rather than conservative scorecards or conservative records in the Republican Party today, there's only really one thing that matters, and that is a loyalty to Donald Trump. And that's something that Stefanik has.
Right. And we should say, I think she was being loyal to Donald Trump when she referred to the president, because I think she was talking about working with him versus Joe Biden. I don't mm-hmm. know if Rick, you have any thoughts about that and whether or not she actually has any significant future as a leader of the GOP.
Well, I mean, she's in her mid-30s. She's going to be the number three member of House leadership. And there's a very good chance that the House Republicans take back control next year. I think she has a very bright future so far as Trumpism has a future. If it doesn't, she's made her play. And I think it's hard to walk back from this, from the history she had as a moderate and a Paul Ryan acolyte and someone who had a much more nuanced view, to say the least, of Donald Trump, to now being a full-on Trump loyalist. Trump's going to claim credit for elevating her to this position, and he won't be entirely wrong. And she's going to owe a lot of loyalty and a lot of debts to Trump and Trumpism moving forward.
We have just about a minute with both of you, but I want to talk about something. Last night, lawmakers in Texas advanced a bill that would do things like make it harder to get an absentee ballot. And yesterday, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis barred local media from covering his signing into law of a similar voting restriction in his state. What is the bottom line here? Republicans need the Trump base to get reelected and advance politically, but does that eventually become a problem for them? Rick, I'll let you finish us out here.
Yeah, look, the through line is the big lie. And whatever reasons you have for reforming the voting systems and the voting eligibility processes in a state, the reason that it's happening in all these states is because Donald Trump lied about the last election and continues to do so. And you're seeing Trumpism's influence broader than even personnel. These are real policies that are going to impact people's lives and are going to change the way that people vote in some of the largest and most consequential states in the country.
That is Rick Klein, political director for ABC News, and Scott Wong, senior staff writer for The Hill. Thank you both.
Thank you.